chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean in a woman named Sylvie.
She's a can model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire, now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Welcome to another podcast from InsideCarolina.com, the independent voice of UNC Sports, brought to you by JohnnyT-Shirt.com, the go-to provider for all your Tar Heel gear.
I'm your host, Tommy Ashley. Listen to the Inside Carolina podcast, sponsored by JohnnyT-Shirt, JohnnyT-Shirt.com. Support those guys. I'll talk about them in a minute. Rate us, review us on iTunes, Spotify, however you get your Inside Carolina podcast. Subscribe on YouTube if you're watching this on that. Subscribe to the Inside Carolina channel. Get all you get everything you need. And if you were on there today, you saw Jay Bateman, Greg Barnes, and Ross Martin join me. I'll start with Ross. Ross, Jay Bateman spoke to the media, I think probably for the first time, at least since camp started. It's been a while. And the topic of the defensive line came up. And this is an area of concern. We've done these state of position podcasts throughout the course of camp and talked about how much talent and how good those positions are. We come to the defensive line, and Jay Bateman's got a tinge of concern in the air when he discusses this group.
Yeah, I don't know if Bateman really is concerned. It doesn't seem like he is, but I think we are. You know, it's a young group. There's not much experience. There's really not. I mean, none of these guys played that much last year. They played some. They didn't play that much. I think Vahasek really came on at the end there. But, I mean, basically you got Brandon Vahasek, you got Jaleel Taylor, you got Tamari Fox. Those are your three defensive linemen. But there's a lot of other guys who could come in and play. We've heard the name Christian Varner a lot, KJ Hester a little bit. And then today we heard the name Zach Gill, a name that we thought someone who's going to be resigned to the bench for the rest of his UNC career. But Zach Gill is in the mix, at least one of their top five or six defensive linemen. And there's some freshmen who might have a chance to play. So, I mean, it's really green, but I think they really like Raymond Vahasek and they really like Tamari Fox. And those two pieces, as we'll discuss, are going to be very versatile pieces along the defensive front in a group that is a 3-4, and this is the second year in that system. And so there's obviously a nose and then kind of two tackles or a tackle in the end. But those are the names to know, and I think we'll get into a lot of it here. But I think it's the biggest issue of concern for UNC's defense, and definitely it all starts up front. So I would be a little worried heading into Syracuse in, 10 days?
Yeah, really. It's closing in on us. Greg, you know, we've talked about this position a lot, and we've talked about how important it is in Jay Bateman's defensive scheme. And you lose what they lost with Strobridge and Crawford especially. You know, when you have Crawford, it cleans up a lot of issues across the board. Vahasek's gotten a lot of ink, press, whatever, talk. Is that coming from his performance against NC State, at least from the fan base? I think he got better as the season progressed, but he got a lot of press and a lot of tweets, you know, on that play against NC State. Is he a guy that's going to make people not long for a guy like Aaron Crawford as much anymore going into this season?
Yeah, I mean, I think the fact that his best games were against NC State, who, I mean, let's be honest, was not very good last year, and Mercer. I mean, when you look at the numbers, I mean, he played 5 snaps against Clemson, 2 against Tech, 4 against Duke, 12 against Virginia, 12 against Pitt, then 35 against Mercer, 16 against State, and 18 against Temple. So his reps went up once North Carolina got knocked out of the Coastal race. By all accounts, he's gotten a lot better. Mack Brown says he's the most improved player probably on the team. So props to Vahasek. That's a big deal and a great accomplishment for him. Battled injuries. You know, he wasn't able to lift bench press for 2 years, Ross. Isn't that what it was? Yeah. And so now he's kind of back there. So I am curious. There has been a lot of positivity surrounding Vahasek and Taylor and some of these other guys. But how much is it that that's really what North Carolina has to work with, because I think everybody would like to have had the freshman class, at least the guys enrolled early, in town for spring practice. And that did not happen. And then they're kind of delayed getting in onto campus in June because of COVID. So a lot of guys that you maybe would have banked on being able to play, maybe like a Miles Murphy. I mean, if he had spring practice and Miles Murphy was in town, you could probably make the case that this is a guy that's going to be pushing for a starting spot. But because so many of these young guys just, you know, are only a month in. And so how much of this is what they've got to work with? How much of this, hey, these guys really made tremendous strides since last year? That's what we're going to have to wait and see. We don't know that right now.
It's going to be – I think – go ahead, Ross.
One thing – I think Kedrick Bingley-Jones is another guy. You know, he was in there in January, and he was the most highly touted of those guys. They thought he was going to be a player too. So missing him coming is kind of playing in here. And I think they just need one more guy, like a Christian Varner, who missed the spring as well, or a Kevin Hester, to really step up. They're kind of missing maybe one depth piece, I think, to kind of get them to kind of a two deep there. But, you know, on paper, just the talent, I don't think, is just, there's no really elite player like a Strobridge. You know, we got JUCO transfer. We got a former App State commit, Jill Taylor. Zach Gill hasn't done much in 2 years. And Tamari Fox, I think, has the potential to be a star. They're really high on him as well. Sorry, Tommy.
No, you're good, because I was going right where you just left off. Watching Bateman's press conference with you guys, the thing that stood out to me the most is he said Tamari Fox may be the best guy on the team or the best defensive lineman. Mm-hmm. To me, aside from the Zach Gill comments, because y'all both agree that Zach Gill's been, like, vanished over the last year and a half, but Tamari Fox being one of the best players, Ross, that's big news, I think, for North Carolina's defensive line.
Tamari, Zach Gill?
No, Tamari Fox.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
His emergence, yeah.
I got Ben Sherman hit me up on Slack. So,
come on, Ben.
Yeah. I mean, I'm excited about Tamari. I mean, he's athletic. He's strong. He's got an awesome personality. He's going to show some leadership. And he's going to play all three spots. He's big enough to be kind of a really mobile nose tackle in the middle on some pass rush downs. He's got the speed and athleticism to play on the edge as well. So, like Bateman said, they're going to move him all around. And, you know, he played last year. Like, he has some valuable experience. I mean, he started some games. He was in the mix. So I'm super excited about Tamari Fox with what he can do, not only this year, but moving forward. He's a little undersized. I mean, I think he could have been like a four-star prospect if he was, you know, 6'4", but he's only like 6'2". But I think they really like him, obviously, and it'll be exciting to see how he uses him. There's tons of players on this defense. I'm just really excited to see how Jay Bateman uses him, and that starts with Tamari Fox up front.
Greg, when you look at the depth chart, or at least the assumed depth chart, who knows until they actually roll out against Syracuse, but you got Vahasek there, you got Tamari Fox, Jaleel Taylor, you got Vahasek again, you got Tamari Fox, I mean, and then you got Zach Gill. You got a lot. Bateman wants to play how many? Six or eight?
With at least a two deep with those three defensive line positions.
Okay, so he wants to play six guys regularly. Somebody else has got to step up. So we've mentioned Miles Murphy, A.J. Beatty. Clyde Pender's a guy that Carolina fans fell in love with during his recruitment or whatever. He's been injured. I mean, who from that group of Murphy, Beatty, Pender can provide quality depth for Bateman? You know, because I think they're going to need it. And who knows with COVID, and we haven't even mentioned the injury factor, but some young guys are going to have to play, and without the spring and without the normal system, I mean, who comes up big amongst those three?
Well, that's the great question. And as I said, not having these guys, you know, back in the spring and even early in summer really kind of handicaps everybody. But I think they've seen enough out of some of the young guys, like Miles Murphy's a great example. They've seen enough out of him that they said, okay, he's not going to be able to provide us right now with everything we need on every down. He's just not there yet. He's only been here for a month. However, there are certain things that he does very well. And so you're trying to scheme around, this is a handful of plays where we think he can be very disruptive. What you're hoping for is if you have a blowout against Syracuse by chance and you have a blowout against Charlotte and then you have a bye week, well, that's 3 weeks right there Well, you can throw these young kids in maybe in the second half and let them get that experience and see how quickly they grow. I don't think there's any doubt that what this depth chart looks like right now, hopefully for North Carolina's sake, will look a lot different 2 months from now as these young guys are able to get into games and get more practice reps and all these kind of things, and they kind of catch up to speed. We talk about how good Sam Howell was. He had an entire spring to go through the offense and go through practice and workouts, all those things. These guys have not had that luxury. And so you're going to have to give them a little bit of time. Now, which of those guys are the ones that's going to step up? Well, Rucker's a guy that Bateman clearly is high on. I think Murphy for sure is a guy they're going to be able to count on. Pender, he broke his finger early in practice in camp. I think he's one. Maybe if he's able to get some playing time, that's going to be critical. And that brings up the other element of this. Typically in a game week, you're only going to be using your standard two deep because those are you only have so many reps you can use in preparation for your opponent. How does that change in the time of COVID, right? How does that change when you've got some young guys that you think have a ton of potential and maybe can help you, but you don't have enough experience from what they've been able to do in practice? And so how Bateman manages that is going to be fascinating in the next couple of weeks. We just don't know exactly how it's going to play out. But I have no doubt the lineup that Bateman gave us on Wednesday is going to look a lot different a couple of months from now.
Ross, you agree with that? I mean, you got the guys that are going to be there, Vahasek, Fox, Jaleel Taylor. I think they're going to be throughout the season. They're going to be guys to be counted on as long as they're healthy and all that. But those other guys could roll in and out week to week.
Yeah, I think it's telling that, you know, Zach Gill has emerged. I mean, it kind of shows you what they have and that Miles Murphy is going to play some. And it kind of tells you the depth they have because usually it's really tough for a true freshman without a spring and really without a legitimate strength conditioning offseason to play. So I think Christian Varner is another name. We've heard about him a lot because he gained so much weight. He's up to, I think he's 6'4", 300. So that's another name, no Christian Varner. But Bateman didn't talk about him as much. It was more Miles Murphy. So I think that's – I mean, I think they – yeah, I don't know if he'll be able to rotate more than kind of five guys in and out. So and that kind of leads into this other thing that I think Greg and I were talking about. I think they'll move Tamon Fox down, Tyron Hopper down. Greg mentioned Kamen Rucker, Desmond Evans. Those guys are listed as outside linebackers. We know the name of the game is speed. So on second down, third down, those passing situations, I think they'll take a Jaleel Taylor off. They'll take a big guy out and bring in kind of a 260-pound kind of defensive end, outside linebacker, and line him up. Because, you know, Fox has played, you know, with his hand in the dirt, and so has Tyron Hopper. So I think those guys have experience. Even Kamen Rucker, who's gotten a lot of hype, especially today from Bateman, some other people. I think those guys, you'll see them kind of at times playing that defensive end spot, whether it be a little bit undersized for a 3-4, but brings more speed on, especially for third down.
And, Tommy, last week, Mac Brown told us that, you know, if he had to roll out a starting defensive front, defensive line, it would be Vahasek, Taylor, and to Ross's point, Fox and Tyron Hopper. So that's very much a 2-4-5 look, if there ever was one. And especially against a team like Syracuse that's going to want to throw the ball, that may be what we see.
Yeah, it leads to a discussion I want to take after the break, a little bit about Jay Bateman's scheme. Let me talk about Johnny T-Shirt right fast, Johnny T-Shirt, johnnyt-shirt.com, local businesses. We always hype them on this podcast. We always talk about them because they're great sponsors, but also they're great people on Franklin Street in Chapel Hill. They need your support. If you haven't kept up with what's going on Franklin Street, a lot of longtime businesses are seeing the end of days. Johnny T-Shirt is a sponsor that we need to support as much as possible. You can do it online. You can do it in person. Go by and pick up your stuff. Go see them. Say hello. Great customer service. Great people. Alumni owned and operated. And 10% off if you're a member of this Inside Carolina premium subscription team or however you want to call it. You need to do it. Do it with Johnny T-Shirt and johnnyt-shirt.com. Always great sales. Always good stuff. So,
hey, how good is Greg's lighting? How come I don't have as good lighting as Greg? What are you doing differently, Greg?
This is the leader. This is Beat Writer.
That's right.
I look fuzzy, and Greg looks like a movie star.
I've got a light.
I'm sitting in the dark
right now.
If you're in,
yeah, Tommy's in the dark.
If you're watching on YouTube, I cut the lights out. I got spotlights up there, and it's too hot for that. Yeah.
CBS used to fuss at me because I didn't have enough light. So.
Okay. So yeah, there he goes. Corporate got him.
Yep. Look, if you're watching on YouTube, I want you to look at Greg's setup and tell me where the money is in this group. Got a globe back there.
It's like an Instagram model.
Let's have a globe. I have a plastic globe.
It's got little dots on every place Greg's visited. Let's get back to the scheme. Another thing, Greg, you had an article on Inside Carolina on Wednesday, and you talked a lot about the scheme and the interchanging of guys, especially on the end. And I thought that was interesting because Tim Cross's room was mentioned, Javon DeWitt's room was mentioned. I'm going to put you on the spot and let you do what you love to do, and let's talk about the nuts and bolts of a defense. Explain for our listeners and our watchers what is going on with Bateman's scheme there when you've got two different coaches, two different positions, and guys move in and out or freely move in and out of those two different rooms.
Well, speaking of backdrops, Ross has got the whiteboard behind him, so I was going to let him handle the
X and O's.
X's and O's. Yeah.
Shopping list back here.
Right. But as we talked about earlier, Tom, if you think about the idea of a 2-4-5, right, the standard 3-4 look that we're accustomed to from last year with Jay Bateman, when you've got a true nose like Aaron Crawford, you put him at the zero. And typically you'll have 2-4 eyes. But with Jason Strobridge, you could do a lot of different things. You don't have Aaron Crawford anymore. You don't have Jason Strobridge anymore. So you have to get creative. And one of the things that Jay Bateman – why he's been so successful and why NFL teams have come to talk to him when he was at Army is because of his multiple fronts. And so it may be a 3-4, it may be a 4-3, it may be a 2-4-5. We'll have to wait and see exactly how that looks. But it kind of gets into the whole concept of positionless football. And that's what Bateman's really talked about. So Jahlil Taylor has spoken on the fact that, hey, they really don't have a true nose tackle this year like they did last year with Crawford. You know, him and Vohasek are really working the ones and the threes, which if you think about it, that kind of spreads out the middle there and allows you to bring up outside linebackers if you want to. What Bateman's wanting to do is get the best options on the field. And so when you hear Mack and Bateman talk about a guy like Tamari Fox and the fact that he can play all four positions, meaning all three positions of the defensive line as well as outside linebacker, that versatility is key because you can do a lot of different things. And while we've talked a lot about the outside linebacker position, being able to pass rush as well as drop into coverage, that end position this year specifically is going to have to do the same. So as Ross said, when you're talking about a guy like Tamon Fox, who's put on some weight, he's really their top pass rushing option without a doubt. You're going to use him at outside linebacker. But if you don't have a guy at end on the defensive line that you really need to utilize, move Fox in and say, you know what? He may be a little bit undersized, but he can make up for that and mitigate those differences by being able to get to the quarterback. And so what Bateman has done is said, okay, we're coaching up three positions on the defensive line, tackle, nose, and end. However, we're also going to Javon DeWitt's position group, outside linebacker, and say, look, you guys are going to have to man the end as well. And so what Bateman has done is the way that they teach, the way he teaches it, to me, it sounds confusing. I'm sure to the guys, they pick it up pretty quick. But he's teaching different groups the same position. And depending on if they're in the game, they're told, hey, you're the end on this play. It could be an outside linebacker. It could be a defensive tackle. You're the end on this play. And so that player knows, okay, on this particular play, this is my responsibility. And then Bateman makes the call based on that. And as he said, when Jahlil Taylor is playing end, which he will do some on the line, he knows that on certain plays, he may have to drop into coverage. Jahlil Taylor's 5'11", 320. That's not going to be a good matchup for anybody. So as Bateman said, he understands that. That's why he's making the calls. And so he's not going to put Jahlil Taylor in that position. So Bateman's getting his guys on the field in the packages that he wants, and then he bases calls based on those personnel packages. It confuses the offense. It confuses us, both media and fans, as we're trying to figure this out. But Bateman has a plan. The players say it's simple. They understand it. And that's really all that matters.
Let me ask you both one question, and then Ross, I want you to close the podcast out. Who decides who's on the field any particular play? Is that Bateman's call?
Bateman, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they basically have – you have personnel packages. And so Bateman, you know, is the final say on that.
Probably have what, like a couple groups, and they just know that group, and you call that name or call that number, and that group comes in. They probably would have, what do you think, like five or six of those maybe?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, over my pay grade.
Yeah, over your pay grade. Ross, close us out. You mentioned earlier this is an area of concern, probably the most – critical area of concern for this North Carolina team to have success.
What's the question?
Close us out. Your comments on that area of concern. Ross, you're difficult sometimes.
You ask the question, man. It's
open-ended. Talk about.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's like I introed it. I mean, there's just not a lot of experience. So, I mean, what if one guy gets injured? I mean, what if Rainbow Hayes gets injured? What if Tamari Fox gets injured? I mean, they're up a creek without a paddle, because those are two guys they have to have, because those are the guys, the size that can play the position they're really relying on. I mean, Jaleel Taylor's kind of one-dimensional, I think. I think he is kind of the closest they have to a nose. He's going to have a certain role that's kind of fixed, but Rainbow Hayes, Samari Fox are so interchangeable. They'll be all around. Those guys are going to be key. And you got like the experience with Tamon Fox and Tyron Hopper. You know, not elite guys, but guys that are there. They're leaders, and they'll help lead the group. But beyond that, I mean, I think they'll be okay. And behind them, look at behind them. I mean, Jeremiah Gimmel, I can never get his last name right. Chaz Surratt. I mean, they have some players behind them. You like the depth piece of Eugene Asante and the secondary. I mean, the secondary can help you get a pass rush there. If no one's open, the quarterback has to hold the ball longer. So, you know, there's always a weakness on a certain team. I think the defensive line starting off as the weakness. And I think it's going to be a process of developing them throughout the season. As we said, as more players emerge. I mean, many seasons you have a freshman kind of play that fourth, fifth, sixth game, and all of a sudden, you know, they're in the rotation by the sixth, seventh, eighth game. So I think that's what we'll see with a guy like Miles Murphy or Clyde Pinder or Christian Varner. How'd that go, Tommy?
That was you answered the question that I didn't ask. Very good. State of the position, Inside Carolina Podcast, on the beat, defensive line. I'm your host, Tommy Ashley. Greg Barnes, always. Ross Martin, always. Covering the Tar Heels, Syracuse, September 12th. So if you're listening to this on Thursday, what's that, 9 days? Nine days till college football? Wow. We're finally here. Don't jinx it. You've been listening to the Inside Carolina Podcast, sponsored by Johnny T-Shirt, johnnytshirt.com. Rate us, review us on iTunes, Spotify, subscribe on YouTube. Join us next time. We'll talk about the offensive line in game week when we do this On the Beat podcast, like 4 days before Carolina and Syracuse. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening to another podcast from InsideCarolina.com. Brought to you by JohnnyT-Shirt.com. Where to go for your next Tar Heel gear purchase.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
You're ready, Bob.
Well, all right.
Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year.
You dig?
Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount+.